Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realise that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Thanks, Fred.
It's Easter today, so we've got something to celebrate. And we heard it already this morning from Nathan. It's about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. After his death on Good Friday, his resurrection 3 days later is proof that Jesus was totally right when he cried out in his last moments on the cross, "It is finished." It was finished indeed. He has suffered to the point of dying by submitting to God's wrath. But the moment came that it was all completed. He had turned God's wrath away from all who would believe in him. And therefore, death cannot hold him any longer. So Easter is actually the divine confirmation that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was sufficient to give life to all those for whom he had suffered. And since that first Easter, the gospel can be preached joyfully. Your sins are forgiven. Repent and believe and receive eternal life. What a message. Now, this is a message that each of you are called to personally respond to. Nathan prayed this morning that those who have not experienced your new birth in their life yet would do so by thinking about their sins, by repenting of their sins, by embracing the Lord Jesus Christ as their only Savior, so that they may experience that newness of life in them, which only the Holy Spirit can give. So you personally have to accept and believe this promise in order to receive it, to get a benefit from it. Now, there was a time that many people assumed that simply by belonging to a church, by being a member of a church, then you would share already in this life, this eternal life that Christ gives. So to correct that, quite rightly it was pointed out that being saved means having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to belong to, not only to the church, but you in the first place need to belong to Jesus himself. And that is a transaction that can only be arranged between you and him personally. Doesn't come automatically to you, and you have to ask him. You have to seek him. Then he will show himself to you. So it's a personal thing. But having said that, I want to warn you for another misunderstanding that could come. I said the first misunderstanding was, well, you belong to a church, and because of that, you are a Christian, you are already saved. And over against, we need to emphasize, it's not that. It is a personal thing. But of course you can go overboard with that as well. And say, well, because it's only a personal thing, well, I'm not interested in going to a church, because that brings with it so many obligations and complications, which I'm not interested in. To me, that sounds a very selfish attitude. And it's certainly not in line with the teaching of the Bible. If I've counted well, the New Testament uses at least 110 times the expression each other or one another. And that's very meaningful. Jesus says in John chapter 30, he says this, "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So our mutual love, our love for one another, is our witness to the world. And if we give up on loving one another by withdrawing into a very individualistic lifestyle and just think of ourselves and not be interested in other people anymore and things like that, we lose our witness to the world, because we become just the same as everybody else around us. So our mutual love, our love for one another, is our witness to the world. And I believe that because of that, we see Jesus being very busy on that first Easter day to bring his disciples together again. Because together, they will form his church. They all belong to him, but therefore they also belong to one another. Now in our text, we see how Jesus sends Mary Magdalene as an Easter witness to her brothers. Now we know what the Easter message is. Jesus has risen from the dead. Or as Mary puts it, "I've seen the Lord." Jesus is risen from the dead. Now that is not new to us, but let's imagine how these first people who received the news of his resurrection must have felt. This is hard to believe. Of course, if it's true, it's beautiful news, but it hardly can be. Someone whose death we have witnessed a few days ago does not return alive just like that. That is not possible. It's a common experience we all have. As long as man has lived on earth, as long as there is life, then there is hope. But death is the end. And now you tell us that he is alive? Be real. We can't believe that. I hope, friends, that you can imagine some of the confusion on that first Easter day. You read the various Easter stories, and it's very hard to get a picture of what exactly happened that day. People are running down to and from the gravesite. Men and women find themselves swinging between faith and fear, between joy and doubt. And that is why Jesus is rather busy those first days because he needs to convince his doubting friends of the reality of his resurrection. Now, everyone seemed to be approached in a different way. Some are shown the empty tomb. Others are shown the carefully folded grave cloth. There's a message in that. Others, again, have a talk with angels. Some even meet Jesus himself. Now, we could say they all receive a part of a jigsaw puzzle. And not before they come all together and put the pieces together and share their own experience, they can see the picture. And finally, the truth comes through clearly. It's true indeed. The Lord has risen. Let's rejoice. Now, among the people who were shown the signs of Jesus' resurrection, Mary Magdalene has a special position, because she is the one who has seen it all. Peter and John only saw an empty tomb and then went back to their homes. Some women saw the angels and then left the graveyard. Two men on their way to Emmaus met the Lord himself, but the moment they recognized him, he disappeared again. But Mary, she has seen it all. She was the first one to be at the open tomb. And she sees the burial cloth lying there, neatly folded away. Someone has left here and didn't need it anymore. Mary talks to two angels. She even speaks to Jesus himself. And when she recognizes him, he does not immediately disappear. He keeps talking with her. So Mary is a very privileged woman. That's what we are inclined to think. Well, she has it all. But we can look at it from another side as well. Of all the people Jesus had to convince of the reality of his resurrection, he had the biggest problem with Mary Magdalene. She loves Jesus, all right, but her love seems to be full of misunderstandings and wrong expectations. And that hinders her in believing what it is all about. Look at verse 8. There we read about John. And he refers to himself as the other disciple. He was the first one to reach the tomb. But then he takes some time for reflection to digest what he sees. Who has rolled the stone? He thinks about that. Peter didn't. He comes running in and he dives in the tomb straight away. But John sits there and says, what's happened? What could have happened? And why? And what does it mean? Can it be? And he hardly does think any further. But then John also, after Peter, went inside a tomb. And then it says he saw and believed. See, John had been the disciple with the best understanding from the beginning. And that is why Jesus has developed a special relationship with John. He loved John in a special way because he had a kind of extra affection for this thinking and understanding disciple. So when John found the empty tomb with a burial cloth neatly folded up, showing that the body wasn't stolen, but that the cloth was not needed anymore, he saw and believed. And he was the first one to believe. But not Mary. She sees the very same things. But she did not believe. She stands and cries at the entrance of the tomb. And then angels talk to her. Woman, why are you crying? Meaning there is no reason for sadness today. But no, Mary doesn't allow herself to be comforted. She keeps crying. Why can't she see it? Why can't she believe? What has happened? Like John. Well, I guess the problem is in herself. It's her own affection for Jesus which is the major hindrance. She is so full of her Jesus, her special friend, that she cannot see Jesus, her Savior, her Lord. Mary's problem might be that she is more or less in love with the man, Jesus. Old tradition has it therefore that Mary was Jesus' special girlfriend, or even had a baby with him. A theme keenly picked up by authors as Dan Brown and Da Vinci Code. All fascinating stuff, but nonsense, of course. There's only one thing we know for sure about this Mary Magdalene, and that's what the Bible tells, that Jesus had cast out 7 demons from her. And since that day, she had become a very dedicated follower of Jesus. And in that process, indeed, it's not unlikely that she might have developed feelings for the man, Jesus. And if that happens, you can't see whom he really is, the Son of God. And if Mary would have seen that earlier, and there was ample opportunity for that, she would never have allowed herself the feelings she had, of course. Because faith is ultimately not how you feel about the man, Jesus. Whether you love him or respect him or think he's a great teacher, things like that. Many people in Israel loved this man. Some thought the world of him. Think only of the thousands who must have been cured by him from all kind of illnesses. Most of them were very thankful for it, I suppose, and spoke highly of him. But that's not the same as believing in him. Faith is believing in the one and only Son of God and claiming the promise that whoever believes in him has eternal life. See, in recognizing Jesus as the Son of God and committing your life to him, you have eternal life now already. It's in you, and you know, and it will not be taken from you, for you've been born from imperishable seed, as the Apostle Peter calls it. So Jesus has work to do on Mary. He has to guide her to move on from love for her friend Jesus to faith in her Lord, Jesus the Christ. Now we are curious how Jesus is going to achieve this. Mary, Jesus says, only her name, no more. Mary, and with a shock she awakes from her tears. This voice, she knows this voice. It's him, it's Jesus. Only he can call her this way. Rabboni, she cries, my teacher. She runs for him to embrace him, because she belongs to him and he belongs to her, and she will never let him go again. But then Jesus speaks again. Do not hold on to me, Mary, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Sounds a bit mysterious. What is he talking about? Now what Jesus wants to say to Mary is this. Mary, I appreciate your love, but you misunderstand my position. I am the Son of God. And I am going to return to my Father. And therefore, you have to rethink your relationship with me. See, Mary was very busy with her love for Jesus. And that's why she is so upset about the empty grave. She wants to do anything in order to find her Jesus back, even if it were only her corpse, his dead body. Listen what she says to the angels. And note especially how absorbed she is with herself and with her own sorrow, with her personal grief. For 13, they have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. And then to the man, whom she thinks is the gardener, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." But now she has found him. And she doesn't yet realize that she was actually looking for a corpse. To her surprise, she found a living man. And without thinking, she follows her emotions. She's back again. These awful things on Good Friday did not really happen. Here he is. And now everything will become like it was before. We will be with him. And I will enjoy his company again. I'll serve him. I'll be there for him. How wrong she is. And that's why Jesus tells her, "Do not hold on to me, Mary. I am about to return to my Father. I have my own program to follow. And that's not what you have in mind for me." And it's the program that I shared with you many times before. I was born from the Virgin Mary. I had to suffer under Pontius Pilate. I had to be crucified and die and be buried. But on the third day, I had to be raised again. That's how far I am now in my program. But I'll tell you, Mary, next point on my program is I will ascend into heaven in order to sit at the right hand of my Father. Please, Mary, try to understand. Good Friday was not the great disaster that suddenly brought an end to our friendship. It was only a necessary point on the program that was planned for me by my Father. I have a program to follow, Mary. And surely it includes you, but it's about all who will believe in me. I have a flock to look after. And that, friends, is why Easter is not just a joyous event for people like Mary who received a friend back from death. It's not only a wonderful miracle that happened to in a circle of people some 2,000 years ago. No, Jesus' resurrection is a source of joy for all those whom he has been given as Savior. And that is why also an Ascension Day necessarily has to follow on Easter feast. And after that it will become Pentecost, etc. So Jesus is saying, "Mary, I have my own program, so don't cling to me. Because I am not there only for you. I'm the Christ. I have to move on in my task. And I have something for you to do as well. You'll hear about that. But don't hold on to me. Instead, do this. Go to my brothers and tell them what has happened. And inform them about my program. I am returning to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. Go to my brothers." Jesus saying that? Go to my brothers. It's the first time in this gospel that Jesus refers to the disciples as his brothers. These are words full of grace and truth. Think of the situation. The men whom I called my friends and who addressed me as their teacher, they all fled. During my arrest, they all gave up on me in their fear to save themselves. But don't worry. Their lack of faith, their lack of courage has already been forgiven them. I've paid for it. So welcome again. Be my brothers. Jesus says, "I don't blame you. I don't blame them. I only love you." What a wonderful gospel. And what a glorious and gracious Savior we have, friends. Therefore believe in him and trust yourself to him, and you will begin to love him like he loved you first. It always touches me how consistent Jesus is in his love. not only for people and in the Bible or in general, but also for me. How often must they have been disappointed in me? But I know every time I repent, I say, Lord, I failed you. I know and I feel I'm welcomed again and experience his nearness once again. Fancy that Jesus would call me his brother. That whole new brother aspect is reinforced by what Jesus is saying about my father being your father. Until now, in the Gospel of John, Jesus had always referred to God as my father. And he could say that, and he meant that, because he was the one and only Son of God, wasn't he? But now things have changed somewhat through his suffering on the cross and through his resurrection. Jesus has extended the family of God, and he makes all believers children of God, sons of God, daughters of God. My father and your father, he says. My God and your God. Welcome into the family of God. And so Jesus makes Mary the messenger of this good news. And I mentioned earlier the enormous confusion on the Easter day. Now, since Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sheep had been scattered all over the place. And everyone is trying to deal on his own with the situation. But see how Jesus, as a shepherd, gathers his flock. He is in charge here, as he always is. Mary, do not dwell on your personal feelings about me. And don't stay on your own. Go to my brothers. Seek the communion of saints. Go to my brothers who are your brothers. And together you can encourage and correct one another. So we would say, well, do you love the Lord? Well, seek out your brothers and sisters. Go to the church. Join those who believe in me. Join those who are waiting for my return. Be united with them in faith and love and in the Holy Spirit. Be one as God's people. Because only then you can see the meaning of the resurrection in its full glory. So Jesus refers here to your Father and your God. And that's in the original language. That's a plural. The plural of the communion of the brothers and the sisters. So Jesus also restores their fellowship on this Easter day. He brings this scattered people who are scattered because of fear. He brings them together to rejoice in the truth of his resurrection. It's not Mary's personal experience which is the most important. It's not how she feels about Jesus. No, Mary has to learn to be a sister among the brothers and sisters, part of the flock of Jesus. Easter is a wonderful feast, my brothers and sisters. But you can only really celebrate it in the fellowship of believers, as part of God's family. For it's within this family that the Holy Spirit chooses to work. Because that's where he is administering his gifts. And that's where we can encourage one another in our faith. No one should celebrate Easter on his own, because you missed the most important part of it. That God is my Father and your Father. He's my God and your God. And the resurrection of Jesus ensure that that is the truth. So let's encourage one another with each other's faith. And congratulate each other and say, the Lord has risen today. Congratulations, let's rejoice. So that we become one community of true believers in Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. One in faith, one in hope, one in love, waiting for the day when he will return to us, never to go away again. I long for the day. Lord, have mercy on all of us. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for that wonderful news of Easter. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who went to the suffering on the cross, where he was pierced for our transgressions. But we thank you also that death could not hold him, because he had been obedient to the end. And now he can share with us that we can become children of God himself, that we are justified because of the righteousness of Jesus, that we can come to you in confidence, not in the confidence that we are okay, but in the confidence that Jesus has paid for us, and that is in his name we have access to you. Lord, thank you for that wonderful message. We pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us, to make us understand, to make us live this gospel, to reach out in love to those around us. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us, and that we can also bring this message to people who do not know it. Lord, give us opportunity to speak about Easter, and what it means to us, and how we do believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead and has gained life again, and that he has shared that with us. Lord, we thank you for the privilege you give us, and help us to live it out in Jesus' name. Amen.